Welcome to the Smart Property Investment Show with your host, Phil Tarrant.
G'day, how you going? Phil Tarrant here. Pleasure for you to join us on Smart Property Investment Show. And this is the first podcast I recorded coming back from, I had a bit of leave with the family recently, which is pretty cool. Over in Europe, I go out there sort of every year for like 10 days and just hang out by the swimming pool and mess around with the kids. And it's a good time, I find, to just sort of reset and recharge and relax and think about the year ahead. And obviously, property is always top of mind. So if you've been tuning in to Smart Property Investment Show for a little while, you'll know that we cover our own portfolio throughout it all. So we haven't really been doing a lot recently. A lot of hassles and challenges that we're dealing with just running a reasonably sized portfolio. So it's probably time to recap and reignite in some ways some of the coverage and commentary we're having around our portfolio. So watch this space, but go and check out smartpropertyinvestment.com.au. You can click on the sort of our portfolio tab. You can see where we're at right now. Been getting a lot of questions recently going, how's it going? Is it performing well? How's its value? And to be fair, you know, it's business as usual for us. If you look at the value of your portfolio any given day, it's not like the stock and share market. It's, you know, I like to look at it every now and then when I do my tax, but although there has probably been, you know, a little bit of a decline from its peak at a point in time, it's still a very strong and solid portfolio. So we're going to really uncover and unpack exactly why that's the case and what you can learn from it. But the guest in the studio today, I think, is going to give us a good story, who has been through the trials and tribulations of property investment from now a significant portfolio, but at a point in time, a very large portfolio. And I'm sure he will tell us, Duncan Yields, that don't look at your portfolio any given time and any given day and try and work out the value for it. Stay the long term and long course and make sure you get your strategy right. Duncan, how you going, mate? You well?
Good, thanks, mate. Very well indeed. What a great intro.
It's not bad, is it?
No, I like that.
I didn't start thinking about it. Does that talk?
Straight off the chip.
Well, one day we'll start. We get a lot of people saying, can you video the podcast? I think a lot of people like to see visually how we do this. And, you know, we're in a studio right now, and I've got a blank piece of paper in front of me with your name on it. And the brief I've got in front of me is 5 to 25, which I think is going to shape our chat today. And whether or not we can get right into your journey, I don't know. I think we're going to have to do a return visit. But trials and tribulations of property. Has it been a good ride for you?
Mate, it's been one of the most epic rides. I think the only other ride that I can even put into perspective is having children. Mm. You know, you never know from day to day what's going to happen with a kid. It's the same with property. You get out of bed and you've either got all your tenants and everything's going fine, or you're getting calls from your property manager saying, hey, look, there's a problem here or there's a problem there, and all these repairs needing to be done. So, you know, it's a day in the life of property investor, a day in the life of being a dad. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, it is that way. And, you know, I was coming up to work today in the lift and I got a call. I didn't know. I don't really take numbers. I don't know. But I went, oh, how you going? He went, it's Phil, it's XYZ from X Property Management. You got a second? We've got to talk to you about a couple of things. And I went, which property is it for? She went, it's Property X. And I went, I didn't even realize you guys manage my property. I went, how long have you been managing this property for me? And she goes, oh, I've been sending your emails. And I went, oh, okay. Didn't really know. She goes, your tenant vacated and I just wanted to run through the next tenant we're going to get in there. And I went, I didn't even know. I didn't even know, which is the bad part of me being a property investor. But I completely agree with you. Any given day, you just don't know what's going to happen. And you got to work out how you can make sure you can be a good property investor. Do you think you've been a good property investor?
I love it. Yeah, definitely. I was the worst property investor. And I think, my journey started many years ago. I'm a registered nurse, or was a registered nurse by trade. My wife's a...
You always are a nurse, I think. You know,
I am a nurse, and I very much still relate to that. And I think that comes across very much in how I work with clients now, in that empathy and understanding of when you're actually working with someone, you can really get into their headspace a lot more effectively. I think it also comes down to, and I'll use a word, integrity. It's you either do the right thing or don't do the right thing as a nurse or a doctor. You can't sort of do it 90% of the time, and that comes across in working with clients. If you're helping someone invest in property and my own portfolio, you don't want people on your team that are only doing things right 90% of the time. Mm. They need to be doing something right all the time to stay on the team and to stay in the portfolio.
So how did you start investing in property? What was the first property you purchased?
First property was Mr. Accountant, Duncan, Chris, you're earning too much money. You need to pay less tax. You need to go and buy a property. And we literally left the accountant's office and drove down the street, and that was for sale, and we liked the look of it, so we bought it. That was that was the amount of research.
Okay.
And literally over the next 15 years, that was the same story. Every couple of years, 2 to 3 years, you're earning too much money, you can afford another property, go and buy another property. And it was, whenever they'd say it, would literally be drive down the street. We're in holiday in Queensland and Noosa one time and got the call, you need to buy another property, and we bought another property down the street.
Did you have a good accountant?
No.
Okay.
No, no. It's but you don't know what you don't know.
So were you purchasing property for the purpose of trying to minimise
tax? Minimise tax, and that was it. No, no, no. And look, that for many years in the 80s and 90s, that was very much a normal thing for Aussies to do. It was go out and buy a property to pay less tax. And that whole accountant, looking back at what he was advising us to do, was not correct.
Yeah.
Now, time's a wonderful healer in property. And if I look at that sort of 89 through to about 2000, yeah, we ended up buying 5 properties. Mm. And those properties grew in significant value to a point where in 2000 we sold all our hairdressing salons and I stopped working as a nurse and we travelled for 2 and a bit years.
Okay.
Doing nothing but travel. Came back and the journey really blossomed. We met a guy by the name of Sam Saggers from a...
Sam. There you go, Sam, if you listen.
Yeah. from Positive. And he introduced us to some finance guys and Jason, who was a mentor and coaching at the time. And they sat us down and, well, look, if you do this and this and this with your property portfolio and redo your finance and this and this and this, you can actually start buying some more property. I was like, really? And it sounded really interesting. And then it was 1 property. 2 properties, 3 properties, 4 properties, and literally over an 18-month period, we went from 5 to 25 property transactions. It was a Sam actually used to call me the fireball. It was every Friday afternoon, he'd put his new deals up on the site, the buyer's agency deals, and I was sitting there. Back in those days, it was still a fax. I was sitting there with my fax ready to and send the fax back in. So, you know, put the EOI in to hold that property so I could go away and do my due diligence. Mm. And that's why we waited for 18 months. And it paid dividends, massive dividends.
So you went from 5 to 25 properties over a period of?
18 months.
God.
That was, and look, can you do that now, Phil?
No.
In reality, no. You can't get the finance now. You can't do that same sort of deal now. We were taking options on off the plan properties that would sell just before completion. You can't, there are a lot of things you were able to do then, can't do now.
Mm.
So to duplicate that
would
sort of
thing.
Would
you do it again? Would you do that again if you could?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
So if market conditions existed today, as in 103, 105% finance, property market which was rising, much easier to secure debt, you'd do it again?
I'd do it again. Where we went with the portfolio, and this is where it was interesting, we were really negatively geared. Although we had 5 properties and they'd grown a lot in value, we were very, very negatively geared, hence the accountant, which was no longer working with us. The first part, the first 11 properties we bought were all positively geared. So they're in mining towns, small towns, high cash flow, low growth. They served their purpose to get our portfolio to a point where we could continue to buy more property because we were now cash flow positive.
Mm.
And then we went out and started buying.
And that's a really important point. And when we come back, I really want to crunch that out because it's all about asset selection and how it sort of helps achieve a bigger strategic objective. We'll be back in a moment.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, we're back with Duncan Yells. We're chatting about how asset selection can help shape the strategy of investing in property. And Duncan's just told us about his journey of securing 5 negatively geared properties, which I imagine at that point in time, you probably couldn't do too much more, right? You would have been stuck before being able to find cash flow positive properties.
Oh, we couldn't do a thing. We were capping out. We were capping out in our nursing income, hairdressing income, and the property portfolio.
Yeah.
We were negative. Yeah, we couldn't do a thing. And that's where that's where the need for finance and then the structuring came in and the importance.
Mm.
First thing I do when I sit down with someone now is if they want to invest in property, it's, well, where are you at right now?
Mm.
And so many people don't take stock of where they're at right now. They've heard that positive cash flow is the way to go. They've heard that renovating is the way to go. They've heard this. Yeah, they're all ways to go. It's what's going to suit your own portfolio better. So you asked me before the break that, yeah, would I do it all again? Yes, I would. But the strategy and the way I'd structure that moving forward would be very, very,
very different.
Yeah.
And the benefit of hindsight is a beautiful thing. Oh. Right? You don't know what you don't know. But what was the catalyst for shifting your strategy from a negative gearing capital growth strategy? And that's not a bad strategy. You know, most people start that way, investing in property, because why do you invest in property? It's to create wealth. I don't know many people that do it for any other reason, that as a primary purpose, right? Which takes time. So you want your properties to grow in value. Often they're not the highest yielding properties. But then you've shifted into a more neutrally geared or positively geared property to support a growth portfolio. So Do you remember the time we actually went, I need to rethink about this differently?
It was the education.
Yeah.
It was really getting someone that was on my team. And I think this is something that, you know, coming here this morning, thinking about, you know, what are the things that have made the difference in developing my portfolio over the years? It's about having the team on board that are actually working for you and with you rather than you're just employing them to do a job. And it really comes down to why you're investing in that piece of property. What's it actually going to do for you? At the time, you know, we'd come back from traveling and we had our first son, and it was very much around, we don't want him to, Chris didn't want to go back to work. It was wanted to stay a mum. So how do we create that as a portfolio? And we needed lots of cash. And then we got to that point where, okay, she doesn't need to go back to work. And in reality, I didn't need to go to work either from that portfolio growth. It was then about, how do we actually now start, keep moving forward? And it was creating chunks of equity. And that's when the trading deals came in. So you buy something just to trade it later on. So it was really just that the education, I think, really came down to, it's, we didn't have podcasts in those days. Yeah. You know, we didn't have.
You had to go to seminars.
You had to, exactly.
Expos and stuff.
And then seminars. And back in those days, then it was employing people. I joined a mentoring program. And at the time, you know, $5,000 to join a mentoring program seemed like a lot of money. But
Was the money well spent?
Oh, terrific spend. And I would have paid 10 times that amount to get that advice.
Do you think the currency of that still exists today? Because, you know, access to education was a lot harder. Even 5 years ago, even sort of 8-9 years ago, when I started investing in property, one of the reasons why we created Smart Property Investment was to help people make more informed property investment decisions.
Because you're actually doing
smarter
it,
investor, right? So I said, we'll do it ourselves. Hence the reason why we show our own portfolio. Go and check it out, smartpropertyinvestment.com.au. But access to education is so easy now. There's no excuse to make stupid mistakes. But my view, there's no excuse to making stupid mistakes in property. If you're an idiot, you will. If you're smart, you won't. And that means access to information is out there and critical.
It's out there and critical. I think that it's really swung right the other way, the pendulum, where there is too much information.
Over-information. Which information do you trust?
And which information do you trust? So it really then comes down to where I've seen more success with investors now is where they've actually got one mentor, one coach, one person they're working with directly who they just bounce absolutely everything off. And it's the sounding board then. Yeah. So, yes, well, look, I found this out over here. What does that mean? What does that mean? So someone with experience, you can't take that away. As you talk about your own portfolio, you're actually experiencing the marketplace. Yeah. You're actually going through those ups and downs of investing and having those challenges. So I think that's where that balance needs to come back to. And I think that's where people get more success now.
So you shifted really into gear into a different approach to property from negatively geared property. And buying property for the reason of negative gearing is not a strategy.
No.
I think a lot of people have completely got that wrong. They go, I invest in property for the strategy of negative gearing. You don't. That's an outcome. It's a tax outcome or a cash flow outcome of investing in property. It's not a strategy. Yeah. So let's just get that right. How would you sort of explain with your knowledge, how would you explain to people who have that misconception?
Wow. How long we got?
You answered about a minute or so.
look, yes, you're right. The strategy behind investing to save tax or minimise tax is the benefit of. It's not the reason to. It really comes down to what's your age, where are you at, where do you want to go? And if you're in your 20s, you've got time to buy a property that's going to grow. And if you've got a good income to match that, great, you can buy a property that isn't actually, you can cop it, exactly.
Yeah.
But if you're in your 50s and 60s or 40s, 50s, 60s, now it's starting to, hang on, we've got a couple of kids, we've already got a mortgage over the place, the school fees are killing us, we really want to go on that European holiday. It's, we can't really afford $100 out of the pocket each week over the year. We need to start looking at where that portfolio is. We can't wait for a tax return to give us that benefit. The property needs to be taken care of itself in that case. Now, that's each person's individual. So tax, yeah, it's a benefit. It's like the cash flow. It's a, you buy a property purely for cash flow. The benefit is you get the cash flow out of it. You won't get the growth though.
Yeah.
And if you just want cash, that's awesome. But if that thing isn't tenanted, and I've had tenants that I remember one tenant in particular, one friend in particular, who must have had 15 or 20 properties just in Tasmania, in little country mining towns.
Yeah.
And I was, look at me, I'm making all this money, I don't have to work anymore. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And then all of a sudden, the mine shut down.
Yeah.
And he was holding commercial properties and residential properties, and some, unfortunately, still holds today that aren't rented out. And he had to go back to work. So buying purely for one strategy, one reason, doesn't make sense.
And this is the whole diversified approach to property. And people get caught up with diversification thinking that it means I need to buy houses and units, or diversification means I need to buy in different states, or I need to buy metropolitan and regional. Yeah, look, that's all part of the diversification story. But the true diversification is the portfolio makeup and portfolio construction around diversification of how you generate income and how that relates to the ongoing strategy of your portfolio towards wealth creation. So yes, I have some cash flow positive properties to support the properties which are capital growth
properties. That's properties, right. Exactly. Know.
And what I find with investors, and maybe you can talk about your experience, is that when they actually, that point in time where they understand it, because most people, you got to get some experience in property before you go, oh, you know what? I sort of get it now. And that journey never stops. Like, you know, I always learn something new about property every day, depending who I'm chatting to, like a guy like yourself, you know, we just go, oh, I think I should start thinking about that differently. You know?
Yeah, it's a really interesting, since stopped nursing in 2000, came back from traveling 2002.
Did you travel before kids?
Yes.
Or with kids?
Yeah, no, before kids. Yeah. Okay. We've done a lot of traveling with Lachlan since, but definitely different sort of travel with our kids. Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, since about 2005, I've been fortunate enough to coach literally hundreds and hundreds of people on their investment journeys. Some I met had never bought property. Some I met who had bought one, two, or three properties and were stuck. So like so many investors, they get to that, oh, I can't get any more finance. I'm stuck. What do I do now? And others that had 5, 6, 10, 15 properties. And the problems were always the same. It was, what's next? How do I move? I'm stuck here. Who do I trust? What do I build? So it was whether you're a first-time investor, a semi-experienced investor, or someone that actually had quite a lot of property already, it really came down to I need to change my strategy. I need to get a proper balanced strategy in place to move them forward. And I think that that is one of the biggest things that you look at with building that portfolio over time is working with clients in and around getting them to a point where they're understanding. It's interesting that people that have bought no property before, once they've bought 3, 4 properties and they've got the right education, they don't need help anymore. It's like, thanks, Dunk, I'll see you in 12 months. We'll have a coffee or a beer or whatever it is and celebrate. Where other clients, you continue until they actually get it, until they actually get that understanding of balancing their portfolio. And I think taking responsibility is a really interesting.
It's critical.
Is they need to understand what they're doing instead of relying on other people to. It's you go to a seminar and someone says, yeah, buy here, buy here, buy here. It's fantastic. And they trust that person up on the stage. I'm shaking my head, but that's one of the most scary things that I see is people don't take the time to actually understand what they're investing in.
And this goes back to my point that there is no excuse to be ill-informed about property and make stupid mistakes anymore. Yeah, look, you don't get it right all the time, but you know, 15 years ago when people would go to a seminar and get flogged a property or something from the stage which wasn't right for them, I think there's no reason why that should happen anymore. But when we come back, let's work out why. We'll be back in a moment. I'm back with Duncan Yells. We're having a chat about his journey investing in property. Now, Duncan, we've been discussing this whole concept of responsibility and the responsibility for education and making informed decisions, and it lies 100% with the investor. You can't blame other people if you've made ill-informed investment decisions. That said, you need to trust the advisors that you have. So choosing trusted advisors is key. And it sounds as though a sort of a pivot point for you in your property investment journey was probably meeting Sam Saggers over at Positive. I've known Sam for years, and we're fortunate that we've in Australia we've got some really good quality, you know, investment advisors who give a shit, right? You know, I think that's a good thing. But also they're few and far between as well, right? So how did you, and we use Sam as an example, I don't mind, I'm sure he won't. How did you make that interaction with him and work out whether or not that was right for you to go down that journey?
Wow. Look,
you know what I mean? Like that.
It wasn't, and please, not no offense against Sam, it wasn't just Sam, it was Sam and his team.
Yeah.
Sam was really good at wheeling and dealing and getting good deals in front of the clients.
Yeah.
He also then had other buyer's agents that actually supported the clients. Then there was the finance that supported. And most importantly, at the time, there was Jason Whitten. He was the educator and the mentor. And I think that role around these guys have actually helped people. There's evidence here of people that have actually bought property and actually getting it right. And this is where they were and this is their story. So listening to other people's journeys of experience was really powerful.
That third-party endorsement.
Definitely. Yeah. And then them actually, they're out there in the trenches with you. It was like they wanted the deal to work. I think, not going down too much rabbit hole, but one of the stories, myself and my wife have bought our fifth property. 2000. The winner was Sydney. Everything was going fantastically.
The Olympics,
that's right. We were in Sydney, and then nothing could go wrong with Sydney. The Sydney property market was still just going stupidly high, and people were paying stupid prices over. We bought this one-bedroom place in Oxford Street. It was the Monument Complex. It was an old multiplex building. They'd taken an old IBM office tower and revamped it. We bought this thing for $670,000 off the back of the advice. Now, even at today, even at 2019, $670,000 for a one-bedroom, 40 square. It's a lot of money.
Big bananas.
Yeah, exactly. But, okay, so where do we get the advice from? At the accountant at the time had said, you're earning too much money. You need to buy another property. Here's a person that'll help you buy a property.
Okay.
Now, this is where it gets interesting, and this is something I always ask clients to ask, including myself, of me, and how do I get paid, is that by securing the property through him and through his agent, he got paid nearly a $40,000 commission. The sales agent got paid another $40,000 commission. So there was $80,000 in the $670,000 property that was being paid out just to those two parties alone. You do the numbers on that, that's just a crazy amount of money to be paying out. When it came time to settle, 2002, what had the Sydney market done? It had started to go down. We went to our bank. Fortunately, we had four properties already, all cross-collateralized. That's a whole other discussion with them. They won't go down there at this point in time. You don't know what you don't know. And bank said, yeah, you can borrow the money for it, not a problem. They went and valued it. Oh, no, it's only 45 squares. No, 45, we're going to lend you 50%, and we're earning a value of 550. Hang on, it's worth 670. Yeah, but it's only worth 550. So we were upside down in this deal from the word go. And what it really came down to, we ended up selling it 18 months later with Sam and Jason's advice. We sold it at $492,000. So we lost $250,000 out of that deal.
That's a lot of hurt money. Did you call your accountant up and go, why did you recommend this particular property? Did you do that?
We just moved on.
Don't go
because
there.
Between the solicitor, the agent, and the accountant, they're all working together. And we were just...
It just makes my skin crawl sometimes when I hear about this sort of stuff.
And it does. And this is so whenever someone comes to
me... And it gives
me
a reason why I do what I do today, right?
Exactly.
To actually have these conversations. Like, I don't want to impart my particular view on property. I like to be agnostic, but my job is to extract stories like this from people and for you to tell the story.
And it's really powerful. Every time I sit down with someone and they say, oh, look, you know, no, this guy's told us that and this and that. My question is, what's in it for them? What are they getting out of it? Now, I don't mind an agent making a buck out of promoting a property to me and showing them. That's their job. Everyone should get paid fairly and decently.
But you need to know how people are getting paid.
How to get paid and why they're getting paid and what's in it for them. So I think that was the biggest lesson I took out of that, not only the $250,000 loss out of the deal, but the lesson in your advisors, they might be on your team, but are they actually on your team or are they working for themselves?
And I think that's critical. And if that's the one thing you take away from this podcast today, I think that's a really good education. Going back to my point around there's no real excuse not to be informed about property investment. Sure. But you think about that, like that's $250,000. It's a lot of money. A lot of money then, still a lot of money today, right? Like that's a lot of money. But imagine if you use that $250,000 to buy good growth assets at that point in time somewhere else.
Well, that was a funny thing.
Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, but this is where the learnings come in. At the same time that was happening, I had Sam and Jason saying, Duncan, you need to go and buy in this town. You need to go buy here. If the market's about to go up, this is their logic and knowledge coming in. This is where it was having the right people in your team. I ended up buying literally just four properties in a town in Western Australia at the point in time. And
A mining town?
Okay. Yeah, Kalgoorlie. And we bought them for $5,000 fee put down. That was the buyer's agency fee. And we put down 5% deposit for the 6 months while they're being built. By the time they'd completed, we had another investor knocking on the door, basically saying, you've paid $200,000 for them, we'll buy them off you for $250,000. So
and
literally,
did you sell?
We sold.
Yeah. See, and this
is $200,000, like, back.
Yeah.
Done.
Which is great. But this comes around how strategy is a mechanism of timing.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people who would have bought potentially in mining towns in WA at the wrong time.
Oh, Tony, that's
they'd still be bleeding, right? So it's about being proactive and knowing your strategy and being reactive and responsive and pragmatic in some way. You know, would you go and buy five properties in Kalgoorlie today? I would imagine you wouldn't, right? I don't know anything about the market, so I'm not going to give any recommendations. But at that point in time, based on mining investment, you know, the cycle of mining, what was happening in terms of infrastructure development and mining development, probably a good time to buy there. And yeah, being reactive and responsive around your strategy to do that and sell.
Very definitely. And that's where having that team on board that actually is working with you and your legal team to make sure you've got your contract set up right so you cannot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So the buyer's agent was receiving a buyer's agency fee. So you were paying the buyer's agent, but the buyer's agent wasn't receiving any other income from anyone else in order to
that was his job.
Support.
He's there to get the best price for the buyer. That's the buyer's agent's role.
Yeah. And you know, I've used a buyer's agent for every property I've ever bought for, and it's well documented why I do that. You know, I'm not going to go through it today, but I pay a fee for service. I pay that buyer's agent to represent me and operate in my best interest for me to achieve what I need to achieve.
And that's
the way
it should
be. They're not conflicted.
Yeah,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's and I think that whether it be the buyer's agent, whether it be the solicitor, whether it be the accountant, whether it be the finance, whoever, they all should be doing.
So what's the smell test then? Let's give our listeners something to tangibly take away. How do you work out? What questions do you ask any property investment professional you choose to help you on your journey in creating wealth through property to work out whether or not they're operating for you or someone else? What do you ask them?
What's in it for them? One.
Yep.
What are they going to get paid out of the deal? And I want to know, I want to be able to see that nice and clearly. So just paint it right out for me. Two, who have they helped? I want to speak to other clients they've helped. I want to see what projects they've been involved in before and what their experience is in. There's so many people that, and we'll see it again. As the market picks up again, we'll see all the property spruikers come out of the woodwork again. And there'll be kids that have never, you know, pimply faced 18-year-olds that have never sold a property and can't even afford to the rent they're paying each week sort of thing, but they're selling you $500,000 assets. So what's their experience? I think that's the biggest smell test for me is experience.
Yeah.
And
enjoy the chat, Duncan. Thanks for coming in, mate.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to hear these stories. I know you're buying in America for a little while, so let's cover that off.
Mate, it's a fantastic story, and I think we're actually going to go there again, so it'll be very interesting, very timely.
All right, good one.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Remember to check out smartpropertyinvestment.com.au and also go and check out our portfolio. We're going to do a lot more on it moving forward. If you're not yet subscribing to our daily morning newsletter, so the first to know what's going on in property and property investment right across Australia and also internationally at smartpropertyinvestment.com.au/subscribe. Or if you're a social media person, that's how you get your info. It's Smart Property HQ. Go and check it out. And if you like what we're doing with this podcast, everyone always says, how can we help you out? The biggest help you can do for me is leave those 5-star reviews and ratings on the podcast. As I've mentioned beforehand, there's a whole bunch of people behind this particular podcast, not just me behind the microphone. They get a real kick out of seeing it. We'll be back again next time. Until then, bye-bye.
The information featured in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into consideration your financial situation or individual needs, and should not be relied upon. Before making any investment, insurance, tax, property, or financial planning decision, you should consult a licensed professional who can advise whether your decision is appropriate for you. Guests appearing on this podcast may have a commercial relationship with the companies mentioned.